Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason with Adam Vingan, and joined as we are every Monday at 1 o'clock by Teron Davenport of ESPN to break down the Titans' 24-17 loss to the Chicago Bears. So, Teron, we can take this in many different directions, but I want to start with your thoughts on Brian Callahan's news conference. We carried it live. All three of us really liked what we heard from Callahan, especially breaking down the game and some of the things he would like to see his team correct. What was your biggest takeaway from Brian Callahan's news conference? What stood out to you?
Well, I mean, the first thing that stood out to me was how he had no problem calling. I don't want to say calling guys out, but pointing out you know where guys came up short. You know, you look at where he pointed out the back shoulder throw that Ridley didn't get his eyes around at 10 yards. He got him a little bit later. He talked about Will Levis and just the way he discussed that. Like, he said specifically they had a conversation about not having a play like that pick six towards the end of the third quarter. You know, so I think it was just the frankness, the transparency that Callahan had. I really liked it. And it's good to have a coach who's willing to, you know, put forth that effort to just, like I said, be transparent.
It felt like, I mean, it was definitely a game of two halves for the Tennessee Titans. And I feel that could be said about Will Levis as well. I liked what I saw from Will Levis in the first half. He wasn't taking too many chances, making the smart plays. It seemed to unravel in the second half, but you are much smarter than I am when it comes to this. So what did you see in Will Levis in the first half that did not translate to Will Levis in the second half?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a matter of just he pressed on some plays. And you have to also add in the fact that they changed up some things. You know, they started to send pressure. You look at the pick six, you know, Kyler Gordon, he came on that blitz and he flushed Levis. You know, he had a free run at Levis and flushed him into DeMarcus Walker's arms, you know, for what would have been a sack if it wasn't for the silly play. So, I mean, there was a lot of things that was going on. Just as far as just the whole pressure, the tenseness, like you could see them start to tense up as that lead was gradually getting salted away. And I think that was a big difference. And you saw, you know, what happens when you start to press and you play tensely, you force things, and that's where you have a boneheaded play like what Levis called that pick six.
Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans 24-17 loss to the Chicago Bears yesterday. Now, tell me, you know, because a lot of this, we've talked about Will Levis and the ineptness of the offense all this morning across the shows. Tell me in regards to, because I've explained to the guys, like, listen, when the pocket was clean, I think Will Levis did a good job. But I think he's gotten into the habit of when the pocket isn't completely clean, he tends to look a little hesitant. He looks a little jittery out there. He doesn't look confident in what he sees up front. How did you see it?
Yeah, I think there are some times where he does look jittery, and he tends to drift into the pressure, mm-hmm. as Brian Callahan answered, acknowledged, you know, and it's something that you didn't really see that in training camp, but this is what happens when you don't have true live action where you can get hit, right? And I think that's something where he just has to calm down, right, and just has to be able to, you know, sit in that pocket. And there were times when he did step up into the pocket, and you saw that on the Ridley throw that was, I think it was 22 yards, you know. So it those happy feet, that's something that he has to avoid. And it's something that's going to be an ongoing process for them. They have to find a way to get him to tone it down.
Now, we know just about the only bright spot of that game was how the defense played. Obviously, you know, what the two big fellas did in the inside, they were wrecking havoc just about all day. But Ernest Jones, when he was inserted into the game, it seemed like he made an immediate impact. Have you gotten a chance to talk with some of the coaches about, you know, will he be able to play more snaps moving forward? Is he going to be more of an integral part of what you're doing from a defensive standpoint heading into the New York Jet game?
No, I haven't gotten to talk to them about that. That is a question, you know, that I wanted to get towards the end, but we couldn't get that question in. And you're right, you know, when Ernest Jones is in, and you look at that third down, man, he just obliterated the running back. I mean, I'm talking about, like, yeah, that running back, he needs to call the 800 number because he got violated on that play. You know what I mean? And that's what happened. And then he had the, you know, the awareness to jump and match hands with the quarterback, with Caleb Williams, and knock the ball down. And that forced a punt, or it may have forced a field goal. I don't remember the exact down the distance. I think it was the field goal it forced. And that was a big play, you know, because it was one of the times where the defense, they got the ball in bad field position, and they held it down, and they went out, as Jeffrey Simmons always points to. They put the fire out.
Now, TD, do you expect to continue to see L'Jarius Sneed travel with the number one receiver? Because he did that a lot, and he had a lot of success against DJ Moore yesterday. But do you think that's what Denard Wilson will do moving forward, is to match up L'Jarius Sneed with whoever number one's out there?
Yeah, it seems like that's going to be the direction they're going, especially with Tidobe Awuzie still kind of working his way back. Talked to him in the locker room after the game, and he didn't say that, you know, there was any new injury or anything like that. It was kind of like the plan as far as the load management for him. That's why you saw Brownlee come in, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. come in for a bit. But, you know, when you look at it, I would imagine that they'll have, like, this upcoming week, you know, with Garrett Wilson, I would imagine, you know, L'Jarius Sneed will travel with him. And I think that's a huge advantage to the Titans, because that physicality and quickness that he brings, I think that could shut Garrett Wilson down. But we'll see what happens.
Now, did you get a chance to talk with D-Hop after the game? I'm sure he would have loved to be more a part of the offense. But considering, you know, he had been sidelined for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and to just throw him in there without any true practice would have been not good for him. But I'm sure, you know, he wants to be back out there to help this team win ball games.
Yeah, I laughed because, you know, it was an interesting back and forth with him. You could tell he was frustrated, right? Mm-hmm. You could definitely tell. We waited, a small group of us waited and waited and waited for him. And, you know, I had asked him just, you know, how did you feel this week leading up to him? He was like, I feel great. And I'm like, oh, man, he's giving me the Ivan Drago short type answers, right? So I kind of like sighed, and then I asked him, you know, how did he feel this week, and how does he need to feel? How did he feel in the game? And, you know, he was just like, man, I'm going to tell you the same thing I just told you. I feel great. So you could tell he was frustrated, right? And it's understandable because he's a competitor. He wants to be out there. He only played 15 to 17 snaps. You know, there was a stretch after the opening snap on offense that he didn't play for like three series, you know. And I'm sure that was frustrating to him. And obviously no one likes to lose anything. And, you know, when you work that hard and you go out there and you lose, it's going to be disappointing. So, I mean, I get it. And he definitely wants to – get back in the mix a little bit more. Brian Callahan said that it's just really going to be, you know, as he progresses and begins to feel better, his workload will be increased.
Teron Davenport from ESPN joining us here on Willie and D-Mace. Teron, keeping it with players who may have wanted more playing time, not saying he was complaining about it, but the distribution at the running back position was heavily tilted toward Tony Pollard. I thought Pollard was a bright spot in this game. Of course, the touchdown run. But Brian Callahan did just say he wanted to get Tajay Spears more involved. Was this just an issue of, or issue may not be the right word, was this a matter of just riding the hot hand, the way the game was playing out? Why did Tajay Spears not get as involved as Brian Callahan would have liked, and what does Callahan need to do to make sure that Pollard and Spears are that 1A, 1B that he wanted them to be throughout the offseason?
Well, it was partly because they went with the hot hand, but then you also look in the second half, you know, as Callahan quoted, you know, they didn't get many bites at the apple, right, because they couldn't sustain drives. So that limited things, and it was just kind of the way it went. And he did say that they're going to make an effort to get more guys involved and to get more touches for Tajay Spears. It just didn't flow that way. And honestly, when you have a committee like that where, you know, you got guys who are pretty similar as far as ability is concerned, that's what you're going to have.
What did you make of Tavondre Sweat's official NFL debut? I was impressed with what the big man was able to do during the game. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, for the box score scouts, it didn't look good. But if you watch the game, you'll see, you know, consistent penetration. Imani Hooker said today, you know, Imani Hooker said that it's really good having a guy like that, because when you have a running back that has to redirect as soon as he takes the snap, it helps the safeties. You know, you saw that happen. You know, Swift, he got an early carry and he had to, you know, change his direction because Sweat was right there to meet him when he got the football, and that caused someone else to get the tackle. And then you look at the percentage, right? You know, all this talk about him being out of shape and this, that, and the third. Well, he played 67% of the snaps. Only D lineman that played more than him was Jeffrey Simmons, and Jeffrey Simmons plays the most out of all D linemen on the team pretty much every week. So that says enough as far as where he is. And you know, Brian Callahan was really happy and pleased with them, and those guys are going to be a force in the middle.
Now, it was a tale of two tapes in regards to the offensive line, TD. As you know, you were there. Offensive line, especially in the run game in the first half, it seemed like they were moving a pile and they were dominant. They were dominating the line of scrimmage, so much so that you know, Pollard had a really good first half. The second half, we all saw what happened. It didn't go so well. Did you get a chance to talk to J.C. Latham? And if you did, what was his reaction to his first regular season NFL game?
No, and he was a guy that we really wanted to talk to. The setup in Chicago was – it was quirky. I mean, going back and forth between the locker room and press conference room, there was a little bit of a distance. And by the time we got to open locker room, Will Levis was going out to the press room, so we had to turn around and go back to the press conference. And before we could get back in there, a lot of the guys were gone. So, no, didn't get to talk to him. Did talk to Cushenberry, who Lloyd Cushenberry, and he said that, you know, they need to be able to, have him bounce back, you know, and he has some issues, and they need to adjust that.
Teron, I'm sure once you had all of your Titans duties done, you studied what else happened around the NFL. Any results from the other games around the NFL that shocked you yesterday?
I was surprised that the Patriots got the win. That was very surprising. The Steelers, they beat the Falcons. I would say that the Patriots win was probably the biggest surprise to me. I didn't think that they were going to win that game, but somehow they managed to do it.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on Willie and D-Mace as he does every Monday at 1 o'clock. Teron, thank you so much.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Yep. Teron Davenport, he's all over the station. Always great insight whenever Teron is on the air. 615-737-1025. We'll react to Teron. We'll also continue taking your texts and phone calls on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lowe's has the brand's pros trust to get the job done. You can now shop new Catalyst fencing solutions and save big when you do. 10% off when you buy in bulk. Plus, save $180 on a DeWalt 12-inch dual bevel sliding compound miter saw. Now just $449. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/6 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.